While the collection is being received, listen again to the gospel for today. It's about St. Thomas, hence the name of today, Sunday of Thomas. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, okay, that's Sunday, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, Shalom. That's not actually what it says. It says, peace be to you, but he was a good Hebrew and he didn't say, Irene Pasi, he said, Shalom. That's a side note. That's the first time he said that. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, Shalom. It's the second time he said that. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Have you ever thought about that? He breathed on them. That's a little odd, isn't it? I mean, when do you breathe on somebody? You might blow in your husband or wife's ear, maybe, but we don't generally breathe on each other, do we? I dare say they didn't really breathe on each other back then either. So he breathed on them. Does that remind you of anything else you may have ever read in the Bible or heard at church? What did God do when he formed humankind? He collected up the earth. And what did he do to the earth? He breathed on it. And that is where the human being came from. He breathed into us. This is hearkening back to that. He breathed on them and said, now he said to them, the disciples, the whole group, not just Peter, receive the Holy Spirit. If you, the collective, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This is an important passage if someone ever wants to say Saint Peter alone has the authority to forgive sins. Right here, Christ is clearly saying the church, the group, the apostles have that authority. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, or Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. Wonder where he was. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the scars on his hands and in his side and touch them, I will not believe. 8 days later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. So he was gone for some time. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, Shalom, the third time. What do we worship? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Three? Nice. We came. We have peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, okay, put your finger here and see my hands. Do not be faithless, but believing. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. That's one of the clearest and most succinct statements of faith in the Bible. But look what it took to get that. Jesus had to physically appear in front of Thomas and consent to Thomas touching his scars. Thomas wouldn't just take his apostles and friends' word for it. Jesus said, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Bible and the Gospels and the Scriptures are comprehensive. They tell us what we need to know, but they are not exhaustive. They do not tell us everything. So for those who rest all of their hope in the Bible, it is not exhaustive. There are things outside the Bible, and we depend on our holy tradition to tell us that. But I want to focus on this. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. How many of you like ice cream? I love ice cream. And I'm not even really a snob about it. It doesn't have to be Häagen-Dazs or whatever the latest, you know, hoity-toity flavors are. I just like ice cream. And boy, does it love me. If I want to gain weight, all I have to do is eat ice cream. I might as well just put it in my pockets because that's where it's going anyway, right? I mean, I love ice cream. But there's something different than looking at ice cream on a computer screen, right? Than actually eating it, isn't it? I mean, I'm seeing it, but I'm not believing it. When it touches me, then I'm believing it. Then I really have it. And we were talking in the altar last week during Holy Week. Is it? Yeah, well, 2 weeks ago, I guess, Holy Week, about Christ being up on the cross and how some of the Pharisees walked by. And I love that description. They were wagging their heads. Have you ever thought about that? They had long beards. So when they shake their heads, that beard wagged like the tail of a dog. That's what that phrase is talking about. They wagged their heads. They wagged those beards. They were wagging those beards at him saying, "Oh, you said you were the Son of God. Prove it. Come down off that cross." And we were talking in the altar. We said, well, even if he came down from that cross, they wouldn't have believed. They would not have believed. They would have come up with some excuse. They would have said, well, you didn't do it right. You know, they would have said the nails weren't right. You didn't get the angle, you know. This part was too high. He could stand and support himself. He didn't really die. He wasn't really hurt. Let's do it again and see. Have you known people that were so hard-hearted that they would not believe even if you convinced them? I mean, I have, unfortunately, my own family, extended family. You could put it right there in front of them, and they're not going to believe it because their mind is made up. I say the Pharisees were like that. They didn't believe even though they saw. They didn't believe even though they saw. Thomas, on the other hand, believed because he saw. We here are among the last group. We believe, and yet we have not seen. We are blessed from the words of Christ. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet believe. We are like the saints of the Old Testament. They knew there was a Messiah coming. They believed in that, but they had not seen him. Do you remember Anna and Simeon in the temple when Christ was presented? One of them said, I think it was Simeon, "My eyes now have seen the glory of Israel." He had seen the promised Messiah. This is what they were waiting for to see. My overall point is, in this life, we have to believe in something. People come to me and say, "Father, say something so my kids, my children will understand what faith is about." And I think about these things and I try to bring it to mind. Look, if you're younger, you're very excited. If you're like me, you were looking forward to school, going to the next grade, maybe getting into high school, playing sports, or participating in a theater company. Certainly looking forward to driving. I remember that by all means. And then college and university and what all that would bring. And, you know, the rest of that, well, that would just sort of take care of itself. Well, yes, it does. But what is this life about? And is this life all there is? And where do we find meaning? The things of this world are passing away, kids, children. We invest meaning in this life in things that we haven't seen. We invest meaning in Jesus Christ, our God, based on what our parents and friends and family teach us, based on what the church has passed down to us. We find meaning in something that we don't see, but we trust in it. We hope in it. That chalice that we just carried to the altar and that we all just received from, we invest meaning in that. We find purpose in life in our faith. It is the only thing unchanging, the only thing we can depend upon. Everything else in this world is fading away. You mow your grass, you've got to do it again. You paint your house, you've got to do it again. All things are temporary. All of us, and kids, you will realize this as you get older, all of us adults are living lives of quiet desperation, trying to take one more day, trying to take it one step at a time. In faith, and hope and love. Every day is not Christmas. It's hard sometimes. And when those hard times come to you, where do you find strength? In the only thing that is immovable, the only thing that is everlasting, the only thing trustworthy, Christ our God. Whether it's sunny or cloudy, we trust in Him, we hope in Him. Be not like Thomas, having to see. What faith is that if there's some huge miracle right in front of you? Yeah, duh, anyone would believe that. When you can't see, when you don't see, that's when the faith is real, realer. So, go forward in faith and hope and love. Enjoy a beautiful day. Today is Pascha. It's another Pascha. Every Sunday is Pascha. And in the hope of our Lord. Amen.